Before we start this podcast, we would like to take the opportunity to mention that we now have a Patreon page where you can help to support, evolve and continue these compassionate conversations. Please visit patreon.com/vocedialogues for more information.
Welcome everyone to the Voce Dialogues, Voices of Compassionate Evolution. I'm Chloe Goodchild, founder of The Naked Voice, and this is our new online community where we are exploring, deepening, and evolving our awareness of the transforming power of compassion. Enjoy these new dialogues with a wide range of artists, musicians, writers and philosophers, social entrepreneurs and sacred activists. They are all visionaries, transforming lives through the art of conscious creative expression with practices inspired by their own unique life experience. The Voce Dialogues are dedicated to the compassionate evolution of life on Earth. Well, hello everyone and welcome to the Voce Dialogues. And it's my great pleasure to be with the mighty Gary Malkin, very, very dear friend. Big welcome to you, Gary.
Wonderful being with you.
I think we're going to have some fun. Gary is one incredible, unique human being who is a remarkable musician. Gary is a multiple Emmy award-winning composer, public speaker, and arts and health expert who inspires the world to embrace music as a catalyst for greater emotional intelligence, heart-centered mindfulness, and cross-cultural community building through his life-enhancing company, wisdomoftheworld.com. His globally acclaimed listening resource, Graceful Passages, and I really want us to talk about that, Gary, was co-created with the life-enhancing media creators Michael and Doris Stillwater. This book and CD set is still considered the most celebrated work of its kind, having helped nearly a million people find acceptance for one's mortality and psychospiritual support while facing illness, loss, and the grieving process. Gary is a co-creator of the book and CD set Safe in the Arms of Love, created for new parents seeking support through the bonding process that bringing new life into the world. His soundtrack for Thrive, many of you may know that amazing movie, the most viewed documentary ever, received a Hollywood Music in Media Award. Gary is currently creating music for Thrive's sequel, due to be released this summer, 2020, and Gary has presented at major institutions and conferences throughout North America, including Stanford Health, Google, Harvard's Conference on Spirituality and Health, and many, many others. After over 30 years of creating music for mainstream film and television, Gary's work redefines music's capacity to awaken compassion and wellness into the fabric of our lives with more gratitude, compassion, and grace. That's in the light of that very theme of grace and gratitude and compassion that I just have to ask you, what does compassion really mean for you and how has it shown up in your life?
Wow. Diving right in, are we?
Just a little inconsequential question there.
Wow. Well, you know, compassion is to be with someone else's suffering, right? Mm-hmm. I think even literally the etymology of the word compassion. And it's one of the reasons I think looking back, I fell in love with film scoring because think about it, the art of film scoring is the art of creating, using music to create an emotionally resonant field to allow people to literally feel what the character is going through, right? In a movie, for example. And so compassion really means to me going beyond the cognitive and the linear and the rational into a phantasmagoric experience of feeling with your heart and soul the depth of any given situation. And I mean, you and I know, you know, the universal language of the human experience, the universal language of emotion is music. So there's something completely remarkable, vibrational based around music that helps us go beyond the linear and rational and helps us embody the present moment with our hearts and souls and consciousness in a way that nothing else does. We can use it to design being compassionate. You mean to inspire and awaken compassion or align to compassion? But bottom line is, compassion is dropping into the profundity of the multidimensional present moment that includes our hearts and minds and souls, not just our linear minds, but all of that. So that's what I'm moved to say in response to that very deep question.
That's so lovely, because certainly having had the pleasure of singing with you, I'm also aware, and also listening to your recordings and so on, the way in which you integrate silence as well, and the way in which you pace the sound and evolve the sound and its relationship with silence also is very, very special.
Oh God, I tell you something. I love this new genre that really came to me when I started doing these contemplative improvisations on piano. In many ways, the lifespan of a note on a really good piano has metaphoric implications for the lifespan of a living being, right? And you press the note and bring, or like a bell, right? But the piano, and it rings. And when you allow yourself to align to the lifespan of the note, there is something innately remarkable that balances us back with heart and mind and soul, that allows us to track the striking of the note and the dying of the note, and something in us gets balanced. It happens when we sing, when we ring a bell, when we play a note, when we create space for the notes to reverberate. It changes us. It helps us get present. You know, I love that about that spaciousness. You're right. It's one of my passions.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And no better place than your album, Graceful Passages. Does that really come through? I wonder if you'd like to share a bit more about that.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, what comes to mind is the moment that Michael Stillwater and I discovered the genre. Now, I mean, discovered the genre, it sounds so self-important. The genre was discovered when the Greek choruses happened and Aeschylus was writing plays and the Catholic Church was developing prayer with stained glass and you know, and incense and all this, and the radio dramas of the 30s. So we've often used the power of music to underscore spoken word. But there was something unique that happened when Michael and I decided, what if we say a prayer to someone as if they had just received a terminal diagnosis? And I got on the orchestral patch of my computer, of my keyboard, and created space around the power of being authentic and tender and intimate. Literally the way you'd normally be only able to experience when you're a fly on the wall in an intimate exchange, right? Mm-hmm. And somehow combining that power of vulnerability that Brené Brown so beautifully articulates, and combining that with the art of film scoring, created a nuanced new genre that I have been passionately obsessed with since we released Graceful Passages. I literally, it was like a aha, you know, it was like eureka moment. Has anyone ever scored wisdom spoken with intimacy and disarming authenticity and vulnerability with the art of film scoring? And I've never heard that before. So that's what opened us to this idea of recording Thich Nhat Hanh and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross before she died, and Reverend Alan Jones from the Dean of Grace Cathedral, and then the head of the Ecumenical Division of the Vatican to Father Maximilian Mizzi, and asked them, if they were going to die tomorrow, what would they say to the one person they loved the most, or to their God? And Zalman Schachter was one of our favorites, right? And invariably, what we learned, Voce Dialogues, I love the name of this, Chloe, what we learned was that I feel like we've just barely scratched the surface of understanding that our voice, you know this more than anyone, right? Our voice is sort of like the soul hieroglyphic, or the soul print, the thumbprint of our souls. And when we're connected to the big S self, rather than the personality. Or as my friend Neil Rogan, the author, says, our prisonality. When we release ourselves from the prisonality and step into the portal of being ownership of our full soul selves, and we speak from that place, I've often said that the human voice never sounds so much as music as when we come from the depths of our authentic selves and our tenderness. But when you combine that with a film score of music, there's an alchemy that occurs that I think bypasses one of the most serious epidemics of our time, which I call awareness fragmentation disorder. And I jokingly say, if Jesus walked on the planet today and spoke his, you know, his Sermon on the Mount, everybody would be too busy doing texts and emails and not even distinguishing his voice amongst the plethora of speaking and talking and texting and emailing in the culture today, right?
Right. I mean, we have such an opportunity right now, don't we? Because here we all are grounded in the middle of this pandemic, all just like eyes glued to the internet screens and the text messages and the whole thing, just making connection with each other in ways that we never imagined we would find ourselves doing, you know.
No, it's so true. And in fact, Chloe, the picture's worth 1,000 words. I have something that's 3 minutes long.
Yes.
3 minutes within a 30-minute interview is like, you know, a long time, right? Can I share something with you that
gives you an
example of this? Okay. So what I'm about to share you with is the latest version of what I call this alchemical wisdom concept, you know. And what I said was, if Jesus spoke, you know, nobody would notice, because there's people aren't sensitized to the nuance of when heart and soul is connected, unless they're really tuned to that or made aware of how important it was, you know. And I found that the art of film scoring and the power of using music to bring people into full presence is a really remarkable tool for our time, especially online, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is Sarah McCrum, and we developed a form of alchemical wisdom, which is what I call this film score music, and then we call it transformances. And Sarah's improvising this spoken word. I'm improvising the piano. And just watch what happens to your consciousness when you see the alchemy of the linear cognitive material through the extemporized words and the music, and how something happens to us when we listen to this.
Do you know how beautiful you are? Have you ever stopped to look at yourself? To see yourself in your truth? In the clarity of who you are? In your magnificence? If only you could see what I can see. If only you could know what I know of you. You would stand before yourself in awe. You would see yourself . You would feel yourself . You would know yourself . And so I invite you in this moment to see how beautiful you are. To see yourself in clarity, in simplicity, in your true nature. I invite you to see yourself. Oh, thank you. That's so touching. Goodness. And it also really reveals this incredible, as you say, the alchemy that can happen between the spoken voice or the music of the spoken voice and that wonderful dance between the two of you. And was that just totally improvised?
Totally. Yeah. We've done now 45 of these, some of them 3 minutes, some of them 25 minutes, some of them sweetened, but mostly piano. And one of the things that I'm so in love with about this is it's helped me come back to the original inspiration for me when I was 5 years old on the piano. Because as a film composer, I used to only be satisfied when I had all these major tracks and strings and, you know, all the, you know, colors and sounds that can go on top of a piano. But suddenly it's brought me back to the power of the direct transmission. I mean, you as a singer understand when you come from the depth of who you are and you sing it, there is more than just the music that's coming forth. There's a vibrational transmission that's coming out of you that is the carrier of your intention and your heart and your soul. And that's what I'm noticing with this genre. And I'm promoting it more these days because we need to start our Zoom calls now that that's the form, you know, our way of engaging with one another. Yes. We need to recognize that when we start these Zoom calls, Chloe, it's not just a conversation.
Right.
It's an opportunity. You'll never, never get close to the power of proximal engagement. And it's sort of like when you're in the middle of a wilderness or a forest, you can never replicate the experience of being in nature, right? Mm-hmm. Or being with one another. But when you create a sacred moment, like just playing a track like that, or with where there's music, not just dropping in for silence, but music that was designed to pull you into integration with heart and mind and soul, you come up with a shared agreement that we're going to gather together on Zoom in spite of a lack of proximal engagement that brings our hearts and souls online.
Yeah.
And I feel like music is uniquely qualified to bring us into a level of heart and soul engagement that doesn't naturally happen in our culture or on Zoom calls, especially because people are always so strategically obsessed with got to get this point across, got to get myself heard, got to, you know, it's all about, you know, the yada yada. And it's the space around the yada yada, the intention and the purpose to align that we all need to kind of, like you said, on the beginning of our call today, this is the great tragic but profound reset that we're being given right now. And I think that music has a role to play in bringing that reset into more heart engagement. And I know you agree with me.
Well, I absolutely resonate with what you're saying. And also that just that sense of what you're offering here and what you're inviting us into in this new form of communication is a place of communicating that actually is accessible to everyone. It's not something that, you know, is just going to be the prerogative of trained musicians or trained public speakers or people that for whom that is their profession, so-called.
Yeah, it's so true. Right. The thing that we learned, Michael Stillwater and I learned with Graceful Passages, we were never going to include the project where we took the words out and the music only remained. And we did it as an afterthought, right? We created a whole CD with where the words that we created the music for were taking away. And Chloe, what we discovered is what I'm discovering now with these recordings with Sarah McCrum, which is when you take the words away, it somehow has become watermarked with the intention of the words that inspired the music. So suddenly it becomes this psycho-spiritual experience that the music invites you into that makes you want to bring your heart and soul into the musical experience rather than somebody else's words. That in an extraordinary way. So we're making these recordings available, not just with the voices, but without the voices, so that you can make your own opening Zoom sacred space convener moment, right?
Lovely.
With your own words on it. You could sing. I mean, it's hard to sing because harmonically it's very complex, but the simpler ones with a drone, we're realizing that people want to create their own ways of their favorite poem, their favorite wisdom. And that's embedded in this music is the intention to create that kind of alignment of heart and soul. Does that make sense?
Wow, that's lovely. So on the podcast, people can have access perhaps to a link to somewhere where they can actually access this music.
So why don't I do this? Why I've never done this before because we're still finishing the mixes of the instrumentals now. There are 45 musical tracks.
Right.
We suddenly realized that was just like Graceful Passages. There was a treasure trove of the music only tracks that creates an opportunity. When we found out with Graceful that people listen to Graceful Passages music only 100 times more often than they do the spoken word.
Wow.
Not that the spoken word doesn't have a great power, and it does, but it's very specific medicine for sharing. Spoken words are like you share it with someone you love in a very intentional, focused listening way, right? And it becomes an experience you'll never forget if you share it with your loved one. But when you take out the words and put it on in the background, and this is what I call vibrational intelligence, it up-levels the vibrational field and creates a greater propensity for more compassionate and empathic engagement with one another that allows our way of engaging to be the focused energy the way the voice is, right? And suddenly we're the center of the empathic engagement with the music kind of floating underneath and supporting us in being more heart connected with one another. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And it's remarkable how there is something different when music was created for spacious spoken word above it. And then you take the words away. Honestly, Chloe, I am intending that before I die, this genre of spoken word and music becomes as important. And it sounds so grandiose, so grandiosity alert, you know. But I really believe that this genre needs to be a genre that's an important contribution to society, as rap has been in the last 50 years.
Well, it's as if you're kind of heralding and calling out of the, you know, the lineage of the bards and the, you know, the shamanic invocation
exactly.
of that kind of very intuitive and heartfelt, and as you say, the music of transmission, really. I remember when we used to bring the wonderful American poet Robert Bly to England, and he would sit on a stage with his own poetry and a mandolin or something.
Right.
Drum it kind of wildly and madly. And
yeah, right.
You know, we just call out the words of his latest poem, you know. And then, of course, singing, sometimes just sharing utterance with Coleman Barks when he's reciting
exactly.
Rumi, for example, and then
yes.
What kind of sound can grow out of the words as well?
Exactly. This is why I love working with Kim Rosen, and I know you love and know her well, mm-hmm. and I perform with her a lot, and there is something magical. And you know, Kim's book, Saved by a Poem,
probably
the most poetically written prose I've ever read in my life. And she talks about the fact that poetry never existed without some sort of musical support, right? I mean, historically, from Greek times, the bards and all that. So, yeah, there is a need for a resurgence of an understanding on how music has a destiny to play in reweaving our capacity to upgrade our vibrational intelligence. And by the way, how I define, I'm working on a book that someday in my lifetime will be finished. vibrational intelligence is really, you know, for the longest time I went after Graceful Passages was an expression of what I thought spiritual intelligence was. But we are still so trapped by our my way or the highway denominational separateness. That we needed a larger capstone that included all the intelligences that wasn't so divisive, right, in my view. Mm-hmm. And so we had to just go to the common denominator of the universe, which is, as you know, because your book talks about it, vibration, frequency, resonance. These are the principles of from the tiniest quark to the largest galaxy. And so if we could develop, my goal is to have all of us have an understanding of where is the horizon line between the sounds and the people and the colors and the concepts and the ideas that are generating life rather than destroying life, rather than causing harm to life.
Absolutely.
Just to establish that horizon line, we have the beginning of what I would call vibrational intelligence, because we know in our bones when something is generating life and when something isn't. And that means we can control what we watch, what we say, who we hang out with, when we improve our vibrational intelligence to a more nuanced awareness of what supports life and what doesn't. That makes sense?
So here we are in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. And for some, it's a global reset. For others, it's the most terrifying kind of possibility that they're facing, life and death. Many people right now are having to say goodbye to members of their family, people that are just leaving, these untimely deaths. So how would, if we were to just really bring back what we're speaking of right to this present time,
right,
how can we find a way together right here to find words that express our grief and to find a way together, not to run away from it, not to deny it, but to really truly embody it in faith?
I love the question, and it's a timely question. It's so extraordinarily important. Mm. And, you know, I feel like this is another affirmation of the destiny that music has to play. The new movie Thrive that I'm about to start scoring is about the unified field and the innovations in science, in energy, in medicine, in governance that the unified field can teach us. And for some strange reason, Chloe, we are all being asked to cultivate the muscle of knowing our connection to one another without proximity or touch. It's a cruel joke on one level, but on another level, there's a very profound intelligence locked in this directive. Yesterday, I was really in this sorrow, vigiling the deaths in New York, and I was just flipping through Facebook Live, and suddenly I found a performance of Beethoven's Ninth. The Chicago Symphony was airing a performance. And I had other things to do. And suddenly, for 30 minutes, I was mesmerized in the experience of Beethoven's extraordinary first, movement of the Ninth Symphony. And I can't remember a time when I just sat down and just listened. And I think that the act of listening to music, especially music that isn't only nostalgic, but music that takes you into a reverie of spaciousness, a reverie of connection to that formless art form that brings us into our hearts, there is a skill set that's helpful that you get when you're listening to music that deepens our capacity to feel our connection to one another and to the wordless. So I do feel like that allowing music to bring us into presence of the present moment, including the sorrow that we might be feeling if a loved one is in isolation, not being able to, that is going through the struggle for their lives. I mean, Graceful Passages, I have to say, was created for that equanimity and peace and stability around accepting the reality of our impermanence, which we're all going to die. We just never know what's going to happen to us. Graceful Passages was designed for that purpose. But there's, Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings and thousands of other pieces. Listening brings us back into the radical present moment that enables us to remember that we're not going to be here forever and that none of us ever know when we're going to stick around till. That's what I would say is remember that we can listen. Remember we can sing a note in the shower or in the car. We can scream. We can scream our woes and we can embrace this craziness and ask, what invitation is it bringing us into how can we get closer to one another without touch and proximity? And how can that happen? Mm-hmm. I think music has a role to play.
Without question. I mean, this is a conversation that clearly must go on. And it's one that we've catalyzed here. All those that are listening to us here, having this conversation, to invite you to really to really listen to your own sound and to allow your own expression, whether it's with words or without words. That's what I'm hearing you say, Gary, to really dare ourselves to trust and to have faith in the emotion that accompanies the sound that falls out of the mouth, and to let the silence also receive that sound.
You know, Chloe, that moment when we listened to you, Do You Know How Beautiful You Are? Did
yes.
you notice at the very end when the music was fading out, if someone told me that the most important moment in a musical listening experience is when we transition from sound to silence to back into the quote-unquote normal reality, there's this sacredness to the shared experience of when the sound is dying away.
Yes.
And it is so metaphoric to our lives and the impermanence of life. So just, I want to suggest to whoever's listening, one of the reasons I love you and your work, Chloe, is that you helped people realize that we each, whether we're musicians or not, are born musical MBUs, more musical blessing units. The moment we om or ah or vowels or the moment we use our voices, our birthright is our voice as a musical blessing unit. And I feel like I'm such a fan of your mission and your life's work, because you help people realize you don't have to be a trained musician to have access to this kind of experience, right? And just allowing that voice to die away into the silence and to feel a radical presence and acceptance and love for your humanness. It's beautiful what your work does to that and how it's given me so much support in my life. So I just wanted to acknowledge you for that.
Well, it's a great blessing to have this conversation with you, Gary, and we must continue it. And I have a sense there's a sequel to this. But obviously, everybody listening will be able to have access to links to your material and to your music.
And you know, by the way, I will send you the beautiful track with or without music, so people can experiment with the without music and begin their Zoom call with that music. And just, how would they want to invite people into a deeper space, whether it's a business call or a personal or a spiritual call? And I'll give that to you, and you can just give it out as a gift to whoever wants it.
Oh my God. Well, that's just such a wonderful thing. And so, dear Gary, God bless you. And thank you so much for just opening up this conversation with me.
What an honor. I love you. I think you're one of the greatest gifts to the world. And I'm so thrilled to be on a conversation with you. Thank you, Chloe.
Well, long may it continue. God bless you. And thank you so much for your work, dear Gary. God
bless you, Chloe.